Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
This evening, our speaker will be Teresa Vosa. And I think everyone knows Teresa. Teresa, do you want to tell us the name of your talk today?
Good evening. Thank you, Bonnie. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
The title of my talk tonight is Zen Wind, a wind that blows everywhere. And I like the name that my parents gave me when I was born, Teresa. So during my ordination as a Zen priest, I was given the name of Zen Wind, Zenfu, which I really like too. So I'm happy with both my baptism name and the name that I was given at my ordination. So Zen Wind, I will tell a personal story related to the wind and then share a Zen story related to the wind. So the summer of 2017, I was very aware of the wind, aware of its presence everywhere. I noticed it coming through the window of my apartment in Mountain View. I noticed the way it moved the curtains in my room, the sound the curtains made when moved by the wind, the way it touched my skin when I was laying down in bed. I noticed when a flock of pelicans passed near me at the shoreline, the sound their wings made when meeting the wind. The first Sunday of July that year, Sunday, July 2nd, I invited a friend to participate in the Sunday program at Green Gulch. She hadn't been at Green Gulch before and was interested in Zen meditation, so she was happy to receive the invitation. When my friend arrived to pick me up that morning, I was feeling unease. And on the way to Green Gulch, I shared with her a dream that I had with my father that night. My father was quite thin the last few years of his life, but in my dream, he was overweight. He was wearing a red sports sweater. His face in particular was very big. He seemed bloated. So soon after I woke up, a friend in Spain wrote me on WhatsApp to let me know that she had gone to visit my father, and she said that he was doing well, but with her message, she attached a photo. And in the photo, my father was sitting in his favorite sofa in the dining room. He always sat in the same sofa. And so that's also what happened in my dream. And also, like in my dream, his face was big. He seemed bloated. So I called my brother immediately, who was planning to go visit him soon, and asked him to please take him to the doctor. Zen priest and poet Norman Fisher was giving the Dharma talk at Green Gulch that Sunday. And by coincidence, he started his talk by reading a famous children's poem, Wind on the Hill, dedicated to the children that were in the sendo during the first minutes of his talk. And you might know that poem. It goes, "No one can tell me, nobody knows where the wind comes from, where the wind goes. It's flying from somewhere as fast as it can. I couldn't keep up with it, not if I ran. But if I stop holding the string of my kite, it would blow with the wind for a day and a night. And then when I found it, wherever it blew, I should know that the wind had been going there too. So then I could tell them where the wind goes, but where the wind comes from, nobody knows. So during lunch that day at Green Gulch Dining Hall, I told my friend I found it quite interesting that Norman Fisher had started his talk that morning by reading a poem about the wind. And I told her how present the wind had been in my life lately and how I felt the wind was blowing me home to Spain. And she asked me, "Do you feel you are needed there?" And I said, "Yes." So I couldn't go home to Spain that summer, but I did go for a brief visit to Tasajara with Les and a few Sangha friends from Canondo. Some of you were there too. And it was my first visit at Tasajara and a very beautiful week. It was a week of poetry, of Dharma, a week of friendship. And during that week, Les led a collaborative poetry writing workshop. And there too, I found my friend, the wind. So we wrote, you might remember, but during the workshop, we wrote short poems. And then for part of the workshop, somebody wrote a line, and then the other participants finish the short poems. So I knew that I wrote something about the wind. I didn't remember it well. So I checked because Vanessa compiled all the poems that we wrote during that workshop. And I found, I think it's pretentious to call it a poem, but a few lines that I wrote related to the wind and the way I was feeling about it that summer. And I wrote, "The wind brought a story from far away. I tried to listen, couldn't hear it well." So my father passed away suddenly of a heart attack soon after we returned from Tasajara. And he passed away less than 2 months after I had that dream with him. And some of his vital organs were failing, so he was accumulating liquid in his body. So it was really a visionary dream, I guess you can call it, the only one I had. Around the same time when he passed away, the wind became silent, but I will never forget the way I felt the wind that summer. So the wind is the only of the four elements that is invisible. It is also the most mobile of all and the only one that covers the whole world. It blows everywhere. In our harmony of difference and equality, we chant, "Fire heats, wind moves, water wets, earth is solid." The wind is also a sacred element in many traditions. It is associated with the spirit, with the vital breath of the universe. The Old Testament describes how before God created the heavens and the earth, there was a silent wind that was called God's Spirit. Another expression of the wind is the gift of air or breath. And the second creation story talks about how God breathes divine spirit and life into the human person he created, animating the human into a living being. So God, as a result, is as close to us as our very breath. The poet William Blake talks about a breath divine that moves, that breath divine, he says, it is love. In the Cherokee tradition, the wind is associated with the east and with the spring. And the east is the place of the rising sun and new beginnings. And spring, as we know, is a season of blossoming and new life. The Bushmen, also known as the Sun, the oldest inhabitants of southern Africa, believe that the way of making connection with the sacred is to enter what they called a wind, a river, a current, a mystery that flows inside us. Our Zen tradition also talks about the nature of wind. And Zen Master Dogen tells one of those stories in the first fascicle of the Shobogenso that concludes with the story of a Chinese Zen teacher instructing his student. And I would like to play an audio. Let me see. So this audio that I'm gonna play is a chapter of the book, A Sense of Something Greater. I work on that book with Les, and one of the chapters that he wrote is called Mind Without Boundaries. And I'll share it.
Mind Without Boundaries. The writings of Zen Master Dogen, the 13th century founder of Soto Zen Buddhism in Japan, are familiar to serious Zen students. The first fascicle in his epic work, The Shobogenzo, concludes with the story of a Chinese Zen teacher instructing his student. One day, when Zen Master Bao Chi was fanning himself, a monk approached and asked, "The nature of the wind never changes and blows everywhere. So why are you using a fan?" The master replied, "Although you know that the nature of the wind never changes, you do not know the meaning of blowing everywhere." The monk then said, "Well, what does it mean?" Bao Chi did not speak, but only continued to fan himself. Finally, the monk understood and bowed deeply. On a recent Saturday, we held a day-long meditation retreat under ideal conditions at Kanando. The warm, bright weather could not have been more accommodating. We kept the doors open, allowing the gentle sounds of leaves blowing in the courtyard to enter the meditation hall. One could feel the breeze of Zazen dispersing all boundaries and distractions. Although the mind creates boundaries to give us a sense of certainty and even importance, they are finite containers imposed on an infinite universe. Mental boundaries are comfort zones amidst the ambiguity of constant change. But these comforts are artificial. They cannot provide lasting freedom or happiness. We feel compelled to defend these notions, leading to anxiety and doubt. Zazen practice helps us dissolve unwarranted imposed boundaries and categorizations to find freedom in a world of no boundaries. This is the point Master Bao Chi was making. Spirituality pervades the cosmos, just as an aroma awakens recognition of what is nearby but out of sight. Spirituality cannot be measured, photographed, or recorded. It's not exciting. It just is. The spiritual dimension is neither objective, rational, nor material. It is beyond form, thought, ambitions, concerns, discriminations, success or failure. As it has no boundaries, it cannot be grasped or contained, and this can create discomfort. We prefer to stick with what's comfortable or exciting, what we can grasp with our mind. But when the subtle scent persists, when the continuous spiritual breezes enter through open doors, they guide our life and understanding. After we taste this spiritual dimension, how can we express it, live it in everyday life? Our stories are important. How did we behave at work or at home or in the line at the supermarket? Stories remind us how to express our spiritual practice, how to maintain good relationships, how to relieve our anxieties, and how to avoid creating problems for others. But beyond the stories, how do we keep in mind that the perceived dichotomy between spiritual and ordinary is a false one? When we separate the two, we lose the wisdom of our spiritual self. The spiritual and the ordinary cannot be separated, but we live as though they are. Why did Bao Chi fan himself? Because the answer to the monk's question cannot be found in explanations. How could a verbal response express the nature of wind or the nature of our essential self? Bao Chi's silent gesture reminds us that we can be like the flowing breeze, unimpeded by fears, thoughts, or concepts, the activities of mind.
So, thank you very much. This was my talk tonight. Now we can have a discussion. Thank you very much, Les, for the beautiful name that you chose for me. I hope to be like the same wind and never forget that blows everywhere. Thank you.
Diane? Good evening, Teresa. That was a beautiful, beautiful talk. I'm sort of breathless. It was like a poem, the way you wove it together. I remember after your dad died and we had a service for him in the Zendo, I remember you talking so lovingly about him and your memories of him. And it's just amazing to me that you had that dream and your name, the wind, and how you saw him before he died. The connection you made with that is really beautiful. I don't have a question, but I just needed to say how beautiful I thought your talk was.
Thank you, Diane. After he passed away, when I was going back to California, it was a very, very, very long trip. And I think it was when I really said goodbye to him. So I had to take a flight early in Madrid, and I couldn't fly from Galicia, the region of Spain where I come from, because there were no flights that, you know, that early in the morning. So essentially I had to take a bus from a city near where I live. So I drove, my friends drove me to this bus station, and that's the bus station where my father used to take me when I was in college. So then I took that bus, and it was a very long trip because, you know, you had to cross half of Spain by bus. It was like a maybe 7-hour trip. And we were going through very sleepy towns in Spain, and there was this movement, you know, this movement. And I was looking at the buildings. People were sleeping. The lights were off. And I had this impression that I was moving, and everything was very solid but me. But then, you know, since my father passed away, suddenly I couldn't say goodbye to him. And that you know, the lack of that, the fact that I didn't arrive on time and I couldn't hold his hand, it was very hard for me. So during that bus, I was half asleep and half awake. And I saw him, he was a musician when he was young. He played the saxophone and he loved music and dancing. So I saw him dancing and he was wearing a red sweater like in my original dream, you know, when I dreamt that something was wrong with him. So he seemed very happy and I distinctively felt the touch of his hand. Oh. It was really amazing. And that was the goodbye. Yeah. Thank you.
Nick?
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for your talk.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind saying more about the relationship between dreams and our Zen practice. And the reason why I ask is because prior to my relocation to the Bay Area, and before I started practicing at Kenindo, my Zen practice was in the Korean Zen schools. And there's a big emphasis put on what type of things might manifest in your dreams. And maybe if you're working on like a koan, or if there's like a huadu that you're keeping like a question, a lot of times it will kind of present itself in whatever your dream state is. And I think it's because the belief is that when you're dreaming, you're in a place where the mind is fully functioning, but it's completely dropped its ego. And I'm just wondering, since your talk kind of addressed your own experience with dreams and your practice, if you might be comfortable sharing some more words about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your question, Nick. I haven't reflected much on dreams, or I don't know if there is much written about it in Zen literature. You know, my father dreamt a lot when he was young. I think I got that from him. Well, a few years before he died, he told me this beautiful dream he had. He said, you know, last night I dreamt that you were knocking on the door with your hand, and you were knocking very, 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 pom, 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 pom. And then he said, and then at one point he said, I'm coming, and he woke up. And that was nice. I was completely, I don't know what's the word, you know, about this dream that I had with him. And I read that other people had, you know, this kind of dreams where you kind of, you can't forecast the future, what's coming, or, you know, or other dreams that inform your practice. Sometimes I do have dreams that I can, maybe, that they can be maybe related to practice. One night I dreamt that there was a snake. I was with my mother, and suddenly I noticed there was this snake, and it was going to attack us. And in the moment that it was going to attack us, boom, I cut his head with a knife. It was terrifying. Somebody said, oh, that's like cutting delusion. I don't know, but I had that dream that I can relate to practice. So, yeah. I don't know if this answers your question. Maybe I should do some reading about dreams and what other people have wrote about it. Well, yeah, I guess the dreams tell a lot about our life at that moment and how we're feeling. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Mahesh? Thank you, Teresa, for your talk. That was really beautiful. So my question is around these four elements. Like if I remember correctly, or like based on what I read, like the body mind is created from five aggregates and four elements. I understand the five aggregates part, like sensations, perceptions, that kind of thing, like how the mind is created from there. But why these four elements, specifically like earth, water, fire, wind, why specifically these four, and how is the body created from that? Like, I wanted to hear more on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I read that the author Thomas Merton said that we should let the four elements to be our spiritual directors. I haven't reflected much about fire and earth, but I definitely feel a connection to water and wind. You know, because I think they represent so much about, there's so much spirituality in them. And I can relate then so much to our practice because of the flow of water and this idea of change that, you know, some people say is the ultimate truth of Buddhism, right? Of our practice, that everything changes. And with wind too, as I said, so many spiritual traditions consider wind a sacred element, and the connection, you know, between obviously wind, breath, air, and the fact that breath is what connects all of us, right? It connects us with other humans and plants, animals, and then plants, they produce the oxygen that we breathe. So yeah, I find a lot of inspiration in the elements, but as I said, fire and earth, I haven't thought much about it. Thank you.
Richard?
Yeah, I'm new on Zoom. I'm not sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Richard.
Nice to see everybody.
Yeah.
And I joined a little bit late. I missed the beginning of the recording that you played, and I wondered who that was, and is it on the website, or can I listen again?
Yes, Richard, it's so nice to see you. You were such a firm presence on Wednesday nights at Canon Do. So about the recording, you know that Les wrote a book called A Sense of Something Greater a few years ago?
Yeah.
All right. So then Kaizen, he came up with this idea to do an audiobook, and he invited members at Canon Do to record a chapter of the book. So it was a collaborative project. Now there is an audiobook of A Sense of Something Greater. So the chapter that I read is one of the chapters in the book. It's called A Mind Without Boundaries. And And the person who read the chapter is Fuong. I don't know if you met her.
Oh, yeah, I know Fuong.
Yeah, and she has a beautiful voice, and the way she read it, I thought it was really nice. So the way you can find it is, you know, you can download it or buy it online in Audible.
I have the book. I didn't realize it's out on audiobook. Is it on audible.com?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yes. Good. It's nice because a lot of people at Canando participated in the book. So it's nice to hear people's different voices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice to see you. I'm glad you're joining us on Zoom. Thank you for your question, Bonnie. I don't know if I truly understand it, to be quite honest. But what it means for me, is that practice is everywhere. Like the wind. Thank you.
Thank you. Any last questions before we close? Well, thank you, Teresa, for this really lovely talk.
Thank you, Bonnie.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's KANNONDO.ORG.